4:32 on Wednesday afternoon. You know what that means. Yes, it's time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, the director of the Chapel Hill Public Library, who joins us here in the studio, grooving out to Green Onions. How are you?
I'm great. It's Wednesday, and it's sunny.
Yes.
And I brought a friend along.
Ooh, nice.
And she's thought of, like, so many books, so you and I can just kick back, put up our feet, and eat bonbons,
Thank
Aaron.
Thank goodness. Here I'm glad I brought bonbons today. That's good. All right, so Susan and I are here together. We are joined by a special guest, Amy Sale, who is with the North Carolina Statewide Star Party, part of the North Carolina Science Festival. Amy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about the Star Party here in a couple minutes, but Susan, I know you wanted to talk about some library events first.
It's the shameless library promotion segment.
Ooh, nice.
That often starts this show. So we are super, super psyched about the Star Party. This is the first time we've been a part of this. It's all part of our Explore More. We're going to spend most of our time talking about that. And we're not just having a Star Party.
We're not.
We're not.
Oh, my God.
In the next 36 to 48, I don't know, 72, in the next 2 days.
That's 48.
As is often, thank you, yeah. As is often the case, we are jam-packed. So I wanted to mention a couple things. Number one, tomorrow is one of our Meet the Author Tees. Our fabulous friends group puts these on. And just before this one tomorrow, they will have their annual membership meeting. And when they do their annual meeting, they always try and have a big name author. And you can't get much bigger in this area than Ms. Lee Smith.
Nice.
So Lee Smith will be at the library tomorrow. The program starts at 4:00. She's going to be talking about her last book, Dime Store, which is a fabulous, it's a memoir of her life. Growing up in my part of the world, southwestern Virginia, and she's just a delightful, delightful presence in the world and at the library. So if you love Lee Smith, or you don't yet love Lee Smith, super great program. Come and see her tomorrow at 4, because you will walk away loving her.
Super cool.
I'm just saying it.
All right.
And then we take a short breath tomorrow. Lee's program will finish around 5. And then tomorrow night at 7, we have a fabulous program. It's an author who's coming. His name is Wayne Wiegand, I think it is. And the book is Desegregating Public Libraries in the Jim Crow South. Mm. So I connected with Mr. Wiegand through the project that we did with the banned books and Geraldine and the whole story of desegregating libraries in Mississippi, which is this sort of underknown piece of our history and especially the profession's history. And it turns out, as I was discovering her and all of this history of segregated libraries and the fight for civil rights, I met Dr. Wiegand. He's a professor of library sciences in Florida, and he's coming out with, this is only like the second book that's been done on this topic.
Yeah.
So he's a great presenter. We are thrilled to be co-sponsoring this with UNC School of Information and Library Science. They are generously underwriting his honorarium and travel and all of that. We're providing the space, and hopefully a great crowd will come out. He's a wonderful speaker. If you have any interest in libraries and history and civil rights in the South, it's going to be a great program. So that's tomorrow night at 7.
Awesome.
And then we sleep a little bit
through Friday.
We have a hearty breakfast,
yes.
Friday morning, and Friday night, Star Party, which I was trying to think of.
I just used the book bingo.
Well, I was thinking of, like, how did they intro Star Search in the 80s? Like, Star Search.
Oh, God, I don't remember.
Star Party. Pew, pew. Outer space noises.
I don't think that's how they introduce Star Search, but sure, that's how they introduce
Amy's
Star Search.
Amy's looking at us like, what have I gotten myself into? They're making pew pew noises.
You know, that's the. I was making pew pew noises earlier today for a completely different reason, so this is not even the first time that someone has made that sound effect today. So,
all right,
it's all
so
good.
Let's get serious.
Great,
Friday night
great.
Star Party.
Okay, so North Carolina Statewide Star Party. It's the 6th annual Star Party, part of the North Carolina Science Science Fest. Two coordinators, one of which is Amy Sale, who joins us here in the studio. So tell us about Star Party. Have you been coordinating it from the beginning?
Or yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Yes. So Mickey, how did it start?
So Mickey Jo Sorrell and I have been coordinating it since the beginning, and it came out of the North Carolina Science Festival. So it's part of that. Mm-hmm. The festival's happening all this month, and the Star Party is this Friday and Saturday night. 37 hosts across the state will be offering public skywatching events, so looking up
super cool
at the night sky. And we think, we're making this claim, nobody's contradicted us yet. We think this is the biggest statewide Star Party for the public in the entire universe.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. So the event at Chapel Hill Public Library is just one of about 36 happening from the mountains to the coast. And the weather looks great, by the way. We did a spot check this afternoon of from Asheville to Chapel Hill to Wilmington, and it looks good.
I mean,
both
pretty
Friday
much clear skies all the way through, right?
Yep. Yeah. The heavens have aligned. We're used to controlling the weather in the planetarium, so you know, sometimes we have unrealistic expectations about the real weather, but so, it looks good.
So what happens if you do the Star Party and you organize this and then it's cloudy? What's the backup plan?
Well, some sites have enough indoor astronomy activities. They'll still go on,
okay,
rain or shine. It's up to the individual host. Some of them do reschedule for another night, and some have to cancel just because of the nature of their venue.
But
it looks good. We're
not
hoping,
to worry this year.
We're hoping for no rescheduling.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and bring my kids on Friday night. When we roll up, what are we going to see and expect, and where is it going to be? And
right.
Tell me more, Amy.
Well, you know all this just as well as I do. But one thing you will notice if you go to so they all start and end at different times. It's up to the individual host, kind of the details of the event. But the Chapel Hill Public Library one starts at 7 p.m. And you will astutely notice that it is still daytime at 7 p.m. And you'll be wondering, what is this about? Well, for one thing, the moon will be in the sky.
Ooh.
It depends on the phase,
okay,
in terms of when you see it and where. But Friday night, it'll be up in the afternoon through the evening, a beautiful waxing crescent. So we can start observing before sunset. But there'll be lots of activities going on. So we can start with all those astronomy activities. And there'll be storytelling on the terrace throughout the evening. A moon haiku opportunity. Community art involving people's visions of the Star Party theme, which is anybody out there. So anyone out there, search for life in the universe. Activities indoors, like how do we find planets around stars other than the sun? And where are these stars in the sky that we know have planets? And you might have an opportunity to probe an icy planet, see if there's life in it. And also you may be able to imagine life, draw an alien.
Love it. So I was going to ask if it was outdoors exclusively or if there are indoor activities too, but it's indoors too. You can go inside.
Outdoor and indoor.
Nice.
I am so thrilled to be that we're doing this with you all because you will have flush restrooms and water fountains inside, and it'll be great.
We set the bar really low.
Partner
with us.
This is the glamping of star parties.
Yes. This is not always the case at a skywatching event, so this is very exciting.
That's good. Well, you do have to, a lot of times you have to get out. I mean, one of the...
Right.
You don't notice light pollution until you do, but one of the things that I've really noticed just in the last couple of years, like living in a larger city, you don't see the stars.
No.
Just because this sort of hazy light that you don't notice until you look up in the sky on a clear night and you can barely see anything at all.
Right. I mean, I think that's why people love to come to the planetarium to see the skies. It's supposed to be seen and see the Milky Way. And a lot of kids that come, the first time they're seeing the Milky Way is a simulated version under the planetarium dome.
Yeah,
my parents live on the farm that my father grew up on in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I've had this experience with my kids and friends that I've taken home over the years. You see the stars. Like people walk out at night and you actually hear them gasp because they're like, you know, there's hardly any artificial light at night. And it's just totally different. So that's awesome. I also want to circle back. We are so happy to be partnering with them, not just to provide indoor plumbing, but also
after the telescope, indoor plumbing is the second greatest invention of all time.
So this is a whole this is part of our whole Explore More project, mm-hmm. which is Explore More at Pritchard Park, which we've had Megan on the show with me and others. This is a grant funded project that started out with just the idea of how can we extend our mission out into Pritchard Park. And due to Megan's excellent guidance and our fabulous partners and the community that we serve, it's grown into this huge thing. So we have new partners. The Moorhead we've done some things with before, but now we have this deeper partnership and there's even more things to come. In addition to star watching, there's bird watching programming coming up. There's caterpillar counting coming up soon. There's all kinds of science that's STEM and STEAM-based stuff. So we are happy to be partners with so many people, but especially because of Town Gown and they're so close and there's so much fun. We are so thrilled to be partners with the Moorhead on this and many other things.
I think a lot of people underestimate how important it is that the library is set where it is at Pritchard Park. Like there was that whole debate when the library kind of taken up residence here at the mall, like, oh, it's a really nice space, let's just stay there. No, like because the library is indoors and outdoors. The learning continues out in the park and mm-hmm. that's something you don't get at most libraries.
Yeah, we're sort of trendsetters here. We are learning there's a small but growing movement of libraries that are investing in, you know, natural play spaces and outdoor learning, but I don't know of many that are doing what we're doing, and in part we can do it because of our location, but because of the partners as well.
So back to Amy Sale, how big of an event is this typically in terms of like the number of people who come out?
So usually several thousand total.
Wow.
Across the state, and we've got 37 hosts this year. In the past we've had as many as 55, mm-hmm. and we're really excited this year because we have more libraries than ever before, so that's been a great partnership.
How many, like, telescopes are going to be there for people to see? Is it, like, one big one or several?
There'll be several Friday night. We've been drumming up volunteers from CHAOS, which is, they're actually called that, the Chapel Hill
Great.
Astronomical and Observational Society.
Yeah.
Some
CHAOS.
Of the members are going to donate their time, expertise, and equipment to
You know, they
us.
Went, they sat there and brainstormed what field of study should we get into so that our name can be CHAOS.
Yeah, that's probably how it happened.
I hope they have t-shirts. Come tell them
there are
they got
t-shirts.
A customer. Are there?
Yes. Okay, I'll let them know.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so what else should people know about the Star Party? Where can people go to find more information?
They can go to the Science Festival website. So that's ncsciencefestival.org. And you can find a Science Festival event, including Star Party events near you. If you want to go straight to the list of star parties, you can go to the Star Party page, which is ncsciencefestival.org/starparty.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of events here in the Triangle, right? There's two in Raleigh. There's one in Durham, Chapel Hill, Cary. So there's a whole bunch of stuff
around
here.
There's such a great astronomical community here. So also the Raleigh Astronomy Club has been key for helping to support all the events in the Triangle area.
Super cool. So that's on Friday from 7 to 10 at the library. So head there before the sun sets and start the observation, but it continues through the evening. You got two great events on Thursday, so don't forget about that. We're here with Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. We've got Amy Sale from the North Carolina Statewide Star Party. Let's recommend some books. What do we want the specific topic to be? Like stars, astronomy? All that together.
I prep for books on parties.
Oh,
did
okay.
I do that wrong?
That's,
no, I'm kidding.
That's totally
I'm kidding.
Fine. Yeah.
stars, parties, the universe, any of it. I say we let our guests kick it off.
All right, go for it.
Oh,
that's
goodness.
You, Amy.
That's me. Yes. I was like, who's that?
Recommended books.
So I'm going to start out with every year for the Star Party, we pick a children's book, children's picture book, with the hope that the Star Party hosts will read it aloud at the event. So the one we picked for this year is one we've actually been looking at for a few years, and we finally had a theme close enough. So the theme, again, is anyone out there, search for life in the universe. And the book we picked is Older Than the Stars by Karen C. Fox, illustrated by Nancy Davis. Would it be inappropriate to read the first page?
No, go
not
for
at
it.
All.
Okay, here's a teaser. You are older than the dinosaurs, older than the Earth, older than the sun and all the planets. You are older than the stars. You are as old as the universe itself.
Nice.
And if you want to find out more, you'll have to read the book. Chapel Hill Public Library happens to have it.
Daniel Seiler, marketing guy, you've got some
nice.
Competition. That was
yeah,
awesome.
That was good.
I'm totally there. And all right. I do not know that book. And just looking at it, I love the illustration and the graphic feel of it. This is cool.
Yeah,
is,
y'all can't see this if you're listening out there, but we've got it here in the studio, and it's a terrific looking book.
It's really hard to stop reading once you start.
Yeah,
actually,
right.
It has some good audience participation possibilities. It's basically 13.8 billion years of history ending with you. You know, with your life in one picture book.
That's great.
That's awesome. And I love that you pick a book to use statewide.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
All right, Susan, you
so
next.
So I'm going to recommend not a book for kids.
Okay.
So the question is, is there anybody out there?
Anyone out there?
Okay.
So I'm going to recommend one of my all-time favorite books. It's a book that I love to recommend to, especially to book clubs. It's a book called The Sparrow by Mary Doria Russell. And the premise of it is first contact has been made. Mm-hmm. We've actually found out that somebody is out there. And so first contact is made, and the Earth sends a crew to explore and to greet whoever has made this contact with us. And they send out a crew that's perhaps not the what you might think of. So it's not all scientists and researchers. The leader of the crew is a Jesuit priest. So there's a sort of sociological, empathetic thing going on. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure when we make first contact, let's do it right. And when he returns, when the ship returns, and I'm not spoiling because this is all laid out in the first, like, three pages, he's the only one who comes back living. Mm. And he is just completely traumatized. So as the book unfolds, you find out what happened when they made first contact. And it's really a very thoughtful and challenging book about what it means to exist in the universe and our role and faith and all of it. It's a fabulous read for book clubs, and it's called The Sparrow, which you will find out why it has that name when you read the book, by Mary Doria Russell.
All right. Love that. Okay, so the theme is anyone out there, right? So we're talking about so many different opportunities to just sort of use your imagination and, like, art projects and things like that. That's part of it. We're talking about the possibility of alien life out there. So the one book that I can think of off the top of my head that combines all of those themes into one is The Little Prince. Which is a book about alien contact and also about the power of imagination. So I'm just going to go ahead and recommend that.
Great one.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, am I up?
Yeah. Okay, I'm done, by the way. It's all on you now.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to reach back into time for this next one. One of my favorites, before the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, there was the sci-fi novel for adults by Carl Sagan called Contact. And it's... For those who have seen the movie or read the book, you know that it's about kind of what happens if intelligent alien life were to contact us. And the book has a different ending from the movie.
Okay.
So you'll have to read the book to
out. All right. It's up to you.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got two.
Go for it.
But they come as a pair. So when I was thinking about this and thinking about... looking at the stars and thinking about space travel and the vast universe, I of course thought of the recent smash hit novel, The Martian by Andy Weir, which was turned into a movie. I've not seen the movie, but I love the book. So the book is the astronaut on Mars who everything goes wrong and he's abandoned and he has to figure out how to survive and he grows potatoes in his pants or something. I forget how it happens, but it's a really interesting, thoughtful look at how would you actually, and with some scientific heft to it, survive in that situation. So that's one that I want to recommend, and I feel like a lot of people have read it. So I also want to recommend what I think of as a nonfiction companion to it, which is a book called Packing for Mars by Mary Roach, who's an author that I've recommended on this show many times. But so she's nonfiction, and she takes this sort of popular, she's a very easy to read, but actually goes and does the research and the science about a number of topics. And this one is about the sort of science of actually existing in space.
Nice.
So everything from how astronauts sleep and poop in space to the actual rigors of training for space to all of it. And it's really funny. As I heard somebody describe it, it's both gross and hilarious.
Yeah.
So that's my recommendation.
I was just in D.C. over the weekend on just sort of a weekend getaway, and we went to the Air and Space Museum. Mm-hmm. And the best exhibit in it of all of, like, the cool airplanes and space vehicles and everything, my favorite thing about it was this little display that Michael Collins from Apollo 11 had donated to the museum with just tubes of toothpaste and scissors and toothbrushes and just sort of the everyday items that you take up to space with you. But, like, this has been to space. This was real close to the moon, you know, but it's all just a little bit different from...
It's like everyday things.
Yeah, just everyday things, just tweaked a little bit to make it space ready, but yeah, it was really
cool. Lots of Velcro, right?
Yeah, a lot of Velcro, a lot of everything else. Amy Sale, any more recommendations?
Okay, so I'm going to veer a little bit off of the astronomy topic for a moment,
all
just
right.
because the mention of Mary Roach reminded me of something funny that happened with me in the Chapel Hill Public Library catalog online earlier today. So for the North Carolina Science Festival, one of the initiatives is a Little Free Science Library, which is about featuring science books in these little free libraries. And so the Little Free Science Library Project is sponsoring 50 little free libraries across North Carolina for the festival. And one of the theme this year for the festival is food and drink. So one of the books is called Science Experiments You Can Eat. And I thought, oh, I wonder if our public library has that book, Science Experiments You Can Eat. So I typed that into the catalog on the homepage. What came up was Mary Roach's book, Stiff, The Curious Lives of Human Cadavers.
Oh, yes.
But to be real clear, the search string was science experiments you can eat.
Yeah.
Now, don't eat cadavers.
Don't
We're
eat
not
cadavers.
Saying that.
No, when, no.
When you look
apparently,
at the,
Mary Roach is, and
when you look
the
at the
Library
full record,
of Congress is.
You understand yeah. maybe why that book came up for that search.
Oh, man.
So I have to say, when I heard about the Star Party, I was like, that's about the coolest thing ever.
Yes.
And then when Amy told me about the Little Free Science Library Project, I was like, that's maybe a little bit cooler. So stocking little free libraries across the state with science books for kids, I love everything
Done.
About that.
Awesome. That's talking books, but don't forget about the Star Party this Friday, 7 to 10 at the Chapel Hill Public Library. Amy Sale, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Susan Brown, as always.
See you
good
next
to be
week.
With you.